Our next speaker is Shulian Bai from North Dakota State University.
Good morning. My name is Shulian Bai. Today I'm going to talk about modeling sorption and degradation of 17-beta-estradiol, 17-sulfate in agricultural soils. The first question is, why do we care about this estradiol 17-sulfate, which is a conjugate? Let's talk about estradiol first. As we know, estradiol is one of the most potent endocrine disruptors that have been found in the environment. Some studies have reported that after exposed to estradiol for 21 days at equal or below 10 nanogram per liter, male fish could induce vitellogenin. As we know, vitellogenin is a protein which is normally only produced by females. So estradiol could cause adverse effects to aquatic organisms. And estradiol is a naturally occurring estrogenic hormone which is released by humans and animals every day. And these significant amounts of estradiol have been introduced into the environment through land application of animal manure or sewage sludge for human waste. Because of the high potency and the consistent sources of estradiol, it is really important for us to understand the fate and transport of this organic compound. So far, there are many studies have been carried out, including both laboratory work and field studies. Based on the laboratory work, estradiol has been found to have high sorption coefficients in different soil types and short half-lives from a few hours to a few days. However, according to field studies, estradiol has been detected from different pathways in the environment, such as runoff soils or even freshwater systems like streams. So estradiol is frequently detected and it is widespread in the environment. The discrepancy here is, according to laboratory work, estradiol is found to be highly sorbed and not mobile in soils. However, it is detectable, persistent, and mobile in the environment. So we considered one of the possible causes for this discrepancy is the conjugation of estradiol conjugates. Estradiol is a hydrophobic compound, which is not very water-soluble. So when animals and humans, they release estradiol, they tend to release in a conjugated form, such as sulfate or glucuronide. Because they are polar compounds, they are more water-soluble, so it's much easier for the excretion in urine. If you look at the molecular structure of estradiol versus estradiol 17-sulfate, the only difference here is a sulfate group, a polar functional group, is attached on the carbon 17 position, which makes this sulfate more soluble and polar. And in the environment, this sulfate may just transform to free estradiol. It's a hydrolysis reaction. We call this a process of deconjugation. So the hypothesis of this study was, if deconjugation can occur, then estradiol 17-sulfate could be a source of free estradiol in the environment. So it can just increase or facilitate the transport of free estradiol in the environment. The objective of this study was to determine sorption potentials and degradation pathways of the sulfate in soil and water systems. Because we want to use radio-labeled compounds for this whole study, it's much easier for us to track the radioactivity in different phases. But at that time, we couldn't purchase radio-labeled sulfate conjugate. So the first step of my study was to synthesize radio-labeled estradiol 17-sulfate. We already have a paper published about the methodology of the synthesis, and the yield was over 40%, which was sufficient for our following study. Well, after we made radio-labeled parent compound estradiol sulfate, the major part of my study was a series of batch experiments. The soil we selected was the Hummer series. It's a sandy mudsoil. The reason we chose this soil is because we have some other students, they have done many studies, including both lab work and field studies from the same type of soil. And the soil was selected from both two different depths, 0 to 6 inches, that's the topsoil, and 18 to 24, that's the subsoil. And all the soil properties are similar except total organic carbon content. The topsoil has a 1.29% organic carbon, but the subsoil is only 0.26%. And to do the batch experiments, soil and water were mixed first, and then four different doses of radio-labeled estradiol sulfate were added to the mixture. And we did the batch study under both natural and sterile conditions. And the slurry was agitated for 14 days. We sampled seven different time points during the 14 days. We used these stop vials to determine both aqueous and sorbate fractions at each time point. Basically, what we did was just remove a single vial from the rotator at that time point, and we add formaldehyde to preserve, so we have both aqueous phase and solid phase samples. For aqueous phase analysis, which is the potentially mobile phase, we use scintillation counting for total radioactivity analysis, and HPLC for metabolite separation associated with LC analysis, and LC-MS for metabolite identification. For solid phase, which is the immobile phase, we use water and acetone to extract the soil samples first. And this extractable fraction is called reversibly sorbed phase. And we applied similar analysis by using the same instruments. And for the non-extractable fraction, which cannot be extracted by organic solvent, we use soil combustion. We just burn the soil and we measure radioactivity attached on CO2. And this phase is called irreversibly sorbed phase. Here's the results for mass balances for this study. This is for just the lowest dose, 0.3 milligram per liter. On this graph, it shows the relative concentration trends versus time for each phase. The blue line shows the aqueous phase. As we can see here, it decreases versus time during the batch study. And for the topsoil, the concentration declines much more rapidly than in the subsoil under both natural and sterile conditions. And the dark blue, that's a reversibly sorbed phase, which is from acetone extraction. The fraction is relatively low under each condition, and it doesn't change very much versus time. For the irreversibly sorbed phase, the red line, it increases during the study, and it is more rapid in the topsoil than in the subsoil. The total recovery, we got a better total recovery from the top two soils than the subsoils, especially for the later time points here. Well, because we applied HPLC for metabolite separation and we used LC-MS for identification, so we found several metabolites during this batch study, both in aqueous phase and reversibly sorbed phase. Basically, in aqueous phase, we observed two polar metabolites, which are hydroxyestradiol sulfate and dihydroxyestradiol sulfate. Estradiol E2 was not found in the aqueous phase. However, it was detected in the reversibly sorbed phase, and a further metabolite acetone. Plus, we found a X1, which is unidentified metabolite in the reversibly sorbed phase. So we have the concentration for each species in each phase. we designed this conceptual model trying to describe the distribution of each species in each phase, including showing the degradation and sorption processes in the model. And X2 here is just some scatters we observed during the LSC analysis. It's not a consistent peak. So the key assumption of this conceptual model is, because no E2 was observed in aqueous phase, we assume that hydrolysis, which is a deconjugation reaction, occurs on the solid phase. And estradiol is further oxidized to estrone on the solid phase as well. And so we have these differential equations for each species in each phase. And we have 42 total parameters for this model, which is a lot. And according to our observation from the batch experiment, we applied these constraints. And we run all the species and every condition in a single model all together. And we use this program to inversely solve the differential equations, and which is associated with the global optimization method used to estimate parameters. This table shows the estimated parameters for estradiol 17 sulfate in natural soils, both topsoil and subsoil. As we can see here, the KD value, which is the sorption coefficient, it is 81.3 liter per kilogram for sulfate in the natural topsoil, and it's much lower in the subsoil. Well, here's the results for the simulation. In aqueous phase, in this figure, it shows concentration versus time, and in the same order for the soil conditions. And the scatters on this figure, they are just observed data, and the solid lines, they are simulated data. As we can see here, if you look at the observed data, the scatters, the dots, the red one, that's the parent compound, estradiol sulfate. It is still detectable even in the end of the study, and it is more slightly more stable in the subsoil than in the topsoil. And here, it shows the 14C, that's the total radioactivity in aqueous phase, and each individual species in aqueous phase. And if we look at the simulated results, the model, the solid line, fits the observed data for recovery fairly well under each condition, the blue solid line here. However, there's some discrepancies for the individual species between the simulated data and observed data. So the model kind of missed the tail of the individual species in the later time points after 42 or 24 hours. But the model shows the overall trends very well. Here's the results for simulation in sorbed phase, including both reversibly sorbed phase and irreversibly sorbed phase. Here only shows the total 14C. Individual species are not shown in this graph. Still, as we can see, the model, the simulated data fit the observed data very well for the total 14C on the solid phase. Except there's some discrepancy for the natural soil, natural topsoil reversibly sorbed phase. The observed data are greater than the simulated ones. So from this batch study, we observed that estradiol 17 sulfate was still persistent after in the end of the study at 14 days, and it was more stable in the subsoil than in the topsoil because the subsoil has lower organic carbon content. And if we go back to our hypothesis, deconjugation of estradiol 17 sulfate was not observed in the aqueous phase, but it was observed in the reversibly sorbed phase, which is the immobile phase. So this indicates that estradiol 17 sulfate might be a potential source of estradiol in the environment. Regarding to the model simulation, the overall model describes the recovery and captures the overall trends in each phase. For the less ideal phase, maybe due to lower recovery for the later time points, or there's some other possible pathways in the conceptual model. We are still working on trying to modify the conceptual model, trying to get a better fit. Well, the authors want to thank Colleen Pfaff, Nathan Derby for their assistance, and the project was supported by USDA NIFA. Thank you for listening.
Any questions for Dr. Bai?
Yeah.
Good morning. By the way, I'm Sarah DeLora. I'm a PhD student in health chemistry from the University of Georgia. I'm just curious about, did you confirm whether your sterilized soil still had the same mineralogical and chemical properties as your natural soil? Because there is a good old paper written by Wu, published in 1989, where he looked at different sterilization methods that could be done to sterilize soil, and among them was radiation, and the other was like sodium, use of sodium oxide, and some, and the other was mercuric chloride. Unfortunately, it was only with mercuric chloride that you could not see changes of your true strain mineralogy of your soil, but with your rest, it did change.
In this study, we use irradiation for the sterilization of the samples. So I believe irradiation is a safer way to just not destroy the soil structure or the soil particles during the sterilization. It only kills the bacteria. So, yeah. No, we didn't. Yeah, we didn't do that.
Looking at your model, 42 parameters, I would expect high correlation between parameters. You did present their values or estimates. Do you think they can be estimated reliably for this kind of experiment?
I'm sorry, you mean the...
I'm thinking about parameters, and from your differential equations, it follows that they are correlated, these parameters. How
you can feed these
parameters and estimate their values reliably due to
self-correlation? We just use the inverse model, so
yeah.
Okay,
we can talk
to you. Oh, okay, thanks.